The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
This year, we did the Halloween budget. We did it October 31st. Mm-hmm. And so it's $314 million, which is actually not that much growth from the year before. Okay. It's actually less than last year's budget in the sense that we put a pretty big portion of our budget into the public safety building, which is going to be built down in Milton next year. And we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, and that's really exciting, too.
Yeah. I mean, so we actually put a large, you know, appropriation for that last year. So this year's budget is actually less than last year's budget. Tax rate is going to be going down from $2.29 to per thousand to $2.26 per thousand of assessed value. It's actually interesting, and this is kind of why I wanted to talk about this, is that we're doing that, but we're also staying under the tax cap. And I'll say it that way because it sounds kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that, you know, people don't always understand about the tax cap is that it's really based on the revenue you raise and not really the tax rate that you charge.
Oh, okay.
You know, so people think like, you know, 2% tax cap, you can raise my taxes by 2% and you're okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's not really true.
All right.
Saratoga County is growing so fast that there's so much building that our assessed value is going up by mm-hmm. a lot. So, I don't know. 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, you don't want to really think about it, but
basically
your tax rate is, you know, the amount of money you have to collect against the assessed value that you have in your county, right?
I think that's a misconception people have. So
if our revenue grows by a 2%, and then there's some other state formulation calculation you have to do, if it grows by a certain amount, we then have to give relief to the taxpayer against that.
Okay.
So we grew our tax base so much that you and I, as taxpayers, get a relief against that. So so basically, we stayed under the tax cap by lowering taxes and not by raising them. So
that's
how it works. And if we charge you the same as last year, we're actually exceeding the tax cap, so we can't do that.
Okay.
So sometimes it's like we're forced to lower taxes, which
sure.
sounds kind of odd. But it's good for the taxpayer overall, so I'm in support of that.
Well, it is. If it's only, you said what went down from
229 to 226, so 3 cents per. You know, you won't really notice much of a
difference. No, but I, you know what? I think I would almost rather have kept it 229.
Right,
like you said, you don't. I mean, 3 cents isn't a big deal, but it means more to the county, especially in some of the things that you've got going in the future. I'd rather see.
Well,
I don't mind a small tax increase.
Yeah, I mean, but as a homeowner, you think about it that way. If you just, you know, charge the same amount that you did last year, that would be fine, right?
Right.
But
right.
you know, the county, we would have to go through that breaking the tax cap thing to do that, and that takes a 2/3 vote of the county board
sure.
and that whole thing. So it's like a whole process that happens. So, so really, that's just one thing I wanted to say about the budget and why we're lowering taxes. Again, I'm fine with that in the sense that we're cutting taxes, but
yeah.
at the other side of it, there's a reason for it. So,
okay.
Yeah. And then other than that, the budget, we're adding some personnel, making some changes there within our county workforce, which is adding, you know, some money into the budget, but it's not changing the overall, you know, result.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's probably good that we've done that because we haven't really done a real personnel update in a while, the county. And you know, we kind of keep our staff as minimal as we can.
Sure.
So we needed to kind of, you know, make a change, and it probably will be a while before we make the next change. So,
mm-hmm.
That's really it. You know, we have a public hearing on December 5th at 4:30 down at the county offices.
Okay.
So if you have any questions about the county budget or concerns, come down, and then we vote on it on December 12th, 4:45. So.
Now, was it? I know some years a budget is harder to put together than other years. How did this year fall into the?
Probably extremes. Average.
Average?
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
that's
as
good.
Far as putting it together. Yeah, the county is a little different than the city is, you know, we have a central administration, so it's not,
right.
you know, each department, you know, makes their own budget, and then they have to, as a whole big group, get together and take care of it like
sure.
they do at the city. At the county administrator handles the budget process with a budget committee that he appoints
okay.
Of internal county employees. Each department presents a budget to him.
Yeah, exactly.
We actually don't get involved in the process as directly as legislator-only supervisors at the county level.
Right.
So,
they probably present a wish list of
yeah, right.
what they would like, and then he'll either pare
right.
it down or whatever.
Yeah, the budget yeah. committee kind of works through it, asks the department head, is this a, you know, needs or wants, right?
Sure.
So we try to get as close to needs as possible and not as many wants, and then you know, or if a want becomes a need, then we put it in.
Exactly.
And then
exactly.
really the county supervisor's role is a lot less in involved in it as, say, a city council person's role because we're not department heads.
Gee, isn't that a great way to do a budget?
It's efficient. You know,
yeah, it's efficient.
But you know, if there's a concern that a supervisor has, we always have the opportunity to bring that up in our budget hearings. We had a budget workshop on Monday last week. You know, nobody had any real concerns, but
right.
you know, we talked a little about you know, some sheriff's hires that were going to happen, and we had a couple of questions about some other things in there, but no changes were made.
Now, do constituents ever get a hold of you and just say, you know, can you try and get this for our, you know, I mean, you're representing Saratoga.
You're bringing something up, it shows a little difference between the city and the county too. Is that so? I was approached by the Universal Preservation Hall,
okay.
which is the church on Washington
the
Street.
Old Baptist,
that's being,
or was that the Baptist or Methodist church?
Yeah, it's changed over
yeah,
the years.
Yeah.
So, but they came and they have a big project going on where they're turning that into a you know really a world class arts venue. They partnered with Proctor's in Schenectady,
mm-hmm.
and you know they're starting construction now. If you see, they got the big fence out in front, and they're redoing the front staircase to make it nicer going in.
And that's a $20 million project.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge project,
yeah.
and it's going to have a big impact on our county.
Mm-hmm.
You know, overall, I mean, there's job creation in that, construction jobs, and that kind of thing. Plus, when they're done, you know, it's going to be shows, 700
right.
seat venue, so there's going to be ticket sales and concessions and. Potential hotel nights of people coming to the city and staying overnight, dinners, all that whole downtown economy
yep.
that we have. And so they asked for some funding from the county this year. And they came to me as, you know, the county supervisor to help them. We have a outside agency grant program that we do every year. That part of the budget doesn't get put in right away. It's not like the departments where, you know, there's a – it gets in the budget, and then we have to, you know, discuss it. That
sure.
doesn't get put in the budget, and it's really up to the supervisors to decide whether it gets funding.
Mm-hmm.
So our main committee that deals with the budget is the Law and Finance Committee. They're the first step in the budget process. That came forward, and unfortunately, with our support, you know, it did not get funded in the budget at this point.
Okay.
Now, granted, there's still some stages left in the budget to do. There's a public hearing. You know, they may send people to the public hearing, and then we may change our mind. But even with my support and the other supervisor from Saratoga Springs' support, we were not able to get that through the Law and Finance Committee. And again, it's that part of what you said about being the representative of Saratoga Springs is very true at the county level. You know, they're the town supervisors for their town. So
mm-hmm.
to try to, you know, you're pushing something for your community and you're advocating for it, you're pushing it, but somebody from a far-flung part of the county may not see that same benefit. You know,
sure.
UPH is not in their town, and so how does it affect them?
Well, I mean,
and so look, we'll see what happens, and you know,
right.
maybe it gets in the budget, but it should be in the budget.
Sure,
but at the end of the day, you know, you have to deal with the other townships,
right?
And that's really the issue that the county has with its government right now is that you know it's very town-centered
yeah.
and city-centered, and that's okay, but I'm just saying that sometimes that can be – you can't move – you don't move forward as a county, you
right.
know, when you have that kind of parochial.
Yeah, tug and pull because
what's
the
good
only
for my
reason,
town isn't always good for my county.
Yeah, right? the only thing I can see where you'd have everybody on board is if there was income generated that everybody was going to share in.
Right.
Then you may have all the towns and villages on
right.
board because
in sales tax would really be the only place where that would be because
yeah.
the county does share its sales tax with its
right.
towns.
Well, they have. Isn't the Racino do the doesn't the county benefit from that a little bit?
Oh yeah,
and each town and.
Oh, that's the you mean the revenue that comes in from the state, the
yes,
LT
yes,
revenue. Yes,
right.
we do get. I think it's around. Oh man, I haven't looked at that number in a long time, but it used to be something like I don't know $600,000 a year or something like that.
Okay.
The county got city got 1.4 million and the county got less.
Okay.
We actually get, but the other thing that we get is we get a cut from the Rivers Casino
that's right,
as well.
The casino
and that's more money for the county. It's like about $1 million
yeah.
or so. And that was done on the state, you know, the state legislation that the nine county area,
sure.
every county gets some.
Every
part
county
of
gets
the,
a little something.
Yeah, from the Rivers Casino, full blown casino. Revenue.
Right.
The city doesn't get any money out of that directly. Actually, we don't distribute it to the town. So
no,
the county keeps that revenue.
Right.
You know, so unlike the VLT where the city gets local host money,
right.
they don't get local host money for the Rivers Casino. Schenectady gets
well,
that
they shouldn't. They turned it down. That would have been a nice little
thing. I don't
know
if we're going to relitigate that one, but, you know.
That's kicking a dead dog.
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
Rivers is up and running, so
yeah,
if you want to play blackjack, you
that's
have to
right.
drive down the road.
Oh, well. Well, that's good. I mean, so it looks like the budget's in shape and
yeah.
Everything's going along fine. And
yep.
You said, what, December 8th?
December 5th is the public
December
hearing
5th
at 4:30.
Hearing.
And that's at the county offices in Balsam Spa. And
right.
then the budget vote is December 12th.
Oh, the 12th.
At 4:45.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, and the city's, again, the city's schedule is a little ahead of the county schedule. They,
yeah.
they do their budget in November and we do ours in December. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's really what's going on at the county right now.
Yeah.
It's busier time than, you know, other parts of the year. So
well, there's always crazy times of the year.
Yeah.
And politics in general when you run for office and that. But during the year, too, you've got things that are come up that time of the year. And,
yep.
And,
definitely.
Yeah.
And,
so,
you know, we had quite an interesting election this year. So
yeah, it was. You know, we had talked before the show about how the political parties, and not everybody in the parties, but are moving off center. You know, I was reading about JFK, and a lot of his speeches today would be probably a moderate Republican.
yeah.
Right in the center, and that's basically how politics was back then. It was more center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're either left of center, not too far, or right of center, not too far. But today, it seems like it's expanding farther right and farther left to the point where I don't know why, but we're electing socialists. candidates on the left, and I, you know, it's kind of screwy.
Yeah,
but
you know, I mean, I think on both sides, you could call it Tea Party a few years ago on the right. So, you know, I don't know. I think that overall, I think that's just the nature of where things are going. I'm not exactly sure how you get to compromise in those situations. I mean, you know, I think that for me, it's disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, I try to work with the other side if I can on issues, and you know, if there's something that I believe in that, you know, they believe in, like, let's get together and try to take care of that problem or move it forward or fix
sure.
it or do whatever we have to do. You know, for me, I think I'm much more of an issue by issue person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really I don't come at it as much from an ideological perspective.
Sure.
I mean, sometimes, yeah, but, you know, is it good? Is it bad? Is it a good thing to do? Then we'll do it. If it's not a good thing to do, then we won't do it.
Right.
It doesn't really matter who
well, there's
owns
a
it.
Basic, there's a fundamental difference in priorities for and more so on the national level and state level on you know on each side. But it seems today that there's no room for debate,
right?
Either the state or federal level, and that's not good because even heated debate at the end of the day, you can come in together and craft something,
right?
But today it's so polarized that you just can't come up with anything.
Yeah. Well, I agree, and I think every issue that's a high level hot button issue, it's like that, mm-hmm. and it should be to some extent. I mean, there are more controversial issues.
Sure.
You know, the truth is that you know I think, and you'll sometimes see this on the Sunday talk shows. That's tomorrow.
Yeah.
you know, they'll get into some discussion with a reporter, and then they'll talk about like all the things they're doing in a bipartisan manner. You know, and they're all things that are like you know bills for veterans, things. You know, and that's all going on too. But that's not what gets the press.
Right.
So you know, or the focus from the electorate, because you know those are just things they should be doing, right?
Yeah.
Working on things in a bipartisan manner. That's
exactly.
That's not the car accident that everybody has to look at.
That's
right.
How you have to. That's how you make things better.
Right.
Is work on a bipartisan.
Right. But then when you get to that high level issue, they don't put that same practice into place.
No.
It becomes, well, my side and your side. And
right. Everybody wants a credit.
Right. Right. And they get defensive when the other side says something and it just kind of snowballs into a fight. And it's too bad because, I mean, you should be able to work together, you know, and have, you know, disagreements, but also come together at the end. You know, everybody, a lot of politicians, most politicians, get into it for the same reason.
Right.
They want to do something good for their community.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why I got involved in this, is that, you know, I want to do something good for Saratoga Springs. This looks like a good place. I can do that. And so I try to approach issues from that perspective. So if it's good for the city, I will fight for it. I'll work on it.
Sure.
If it's not a good thing for the city, I'll make sure that I say that it isn't.
Right.
You know, I mean, there have been times over the years I've been here that I've disagreed with commissioners on things. You know, they think the city should do this. I'm not so sure. Bar closing times, if you remember that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was not on the same side as the commissioner who was pushing that forward.
Sure. Closing early.
You know, so there's other, you know, there's times when you say it, but I was not disrespectful to him. And likewise the other way. And we were in the press kind of disagreeing.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, we both believe in the same thing, which is what's the best thing for Saratoga.
Well, I always say that, you know, you can always agree to disagree.
Right.
But do it in a proper way. I mean, I may disagree with you. Excuse me. Disagree with you on some of the ways you want to go about doing things. You may disagree with me, but we sit down and debate, and you come to a middle ground, mm-hmm. and then you agree.
Or we don't, mm-hmm. but we don't take that then to the next level.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It doesn't go to the next level.
Well, I'll give you an example. Last night I was watching one of the talk shows, and they had a Democratic congressman who was in more than one term, so he mm-hmm. wasn't a freshman. But they got talking about, you know, what the Democrat Congress wants to do against what the Republicans want to do before the year ends.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, there are some things that he agrees with what the Republicans want to get done. He said because it looks like the Democrats, in the beginning anyway, are going to try and, well, he's worried about all these hearings that
right.
they're going to have and not get to the meat of things,
right.
which he's afraid is bad. And he said, I'd like to find out what happened with Hillary or this new thing with Comey and Lynch. He said, uh-huh. I'd like to know about that. I'd like to get to the bottom of that. And he says, but, you know, I mean, there's so many other
right.
Democratic Congress people that really don't want to get into that. And
right.
he said, but, well, here's a guy who wants to move things along and get things settled on that end of it.
Yep.
But he said, there's so much that we can agree on. And let's say a tax cut or
look at the crime bill. I mean, you know, the new you know, the crime reform stuff.
Sure.
I mean, it looks like there's wide support for that. And then you have the leader of the Senate coming in and saying, well, no, I don't think we're going to get it to the floor. Like, what is that? You have, you know that there's a
bipartisan,
there's a huge bipartisan support, and the public, I think, supports it too. The job of him is to then bring it to the floor for a vote, and if it's not what he agrees with, fine.
Sure.
But it's what the Senate agrees with.
Sure.
And you know, I think that's unfortunate. But, you know, another great example is infrastructure. You know, that's something that, like, every person you talk to, whether, you know, and again, I go to Washington once a year for our National Association of Counties. I talk to our delegation. Mm-hmm. They all say they want to see an infrastructure bill. You know, from the president on down, everybody says we can agree on that.
Right.
It's the last thing that they're talking about. It's not the first thing they're talking about. It's the last thing they're talking
about.
That's
right.
And it doesn't make any sense.
Show me a city, even Saratoga,
right,
with the progress we're making.
Every place
our infrastructure has is old.
Every place
every city and town, you know, need infrastructure help. And,
but it's funny that, you know, that's the one thing they can all agree on, but it's the last thing that they're all working on. And so it's really unfortunate that we, and instead they're working on other things that are very divisive and, you know, create that narrative.
That's exactly how we're getting this to this point.
Right.
Nobody can agree even on the good things.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get to the Flat Rock Park and parking. Because one of the things that they've... well, there's a design in place for, what, a five-story parking garage. And one of the things that made me chuckle was when Ms. Madigan, our Commissioner of Finance, wants one of the stories to be a fresh market and in the middle of a parking garage.
Yeah, well, that's not exactly true, but...
no?
No, I can tell you a little bit about
that. Oh, okay, all right. Well, that made it sound that way in the paper, but... but anyway, is there as much turmoil and disagreement as there was in the last parking garage?
I don't think so. First of all, just full disclosure, I was actually part of the Flat Rock Working Group, so hence why we have it on the agenda, and it just came up on the last city council agenda. So, I was asked by the mayor early this year if I would like to be involved in looking at the parking area. I think they brought me in for two reasons. I'm the president of the Saratoga Springs Preservation Foundation, so they were looking at the historical aspect of it. And, of course, I have some knowledge of Saratoga's history.
Sure.
And so, you know, wanted to know what the Flat Rock Spring was, because that's actually the reason it's named Flat Rock is there's a there was actually a spring down at that corner of High Rock and Lake Avenue.
Okay.
And there was a spring there called the Flat Rock Spring. And so originally it was piped up to, when I was a kid, it was actually in front of City Hall. There was a little spring fountain right by the stairs where you walked into City Hall.
Yeah.
And that was the Flat Rock Spring. So it was piped
neat
up the hill.
Yeah.
And it used to come out right in front of City Hall.
They eliminated that.
Yep. And it was the you know, in Congress Park, the Deer Spring.
Yeah.
That has the little, Skip just redid it with painted it green and white, and it looks really nice. It's that one with a little, like, crown almost looks like on the top. It's a little circle.
Okay.
If you go into Congress Park, you'll see it. But that was the springhouse that they used to have in front of City Hall that had pumped out the Flat Rock. And so they capped the Flat Rock sometime in, I think, the 1980s. And the mayor was interested in seeing if there was some way of resuscitating that.
Right.
And so hence the name Flat Rock Park started to be bandied about, and then kind of just stuck. So it's not actually five stories, the whole parking lot.
Oh, okay.
So that's, you know, one of the things that I think is – the old project was a five-story garage that was just a five-story garage, and it covered part of that lot. The Flat Rock concept actually takes, like, that first parking lot on Lake Avenue where right now I think the police cars have parked or whatever.
Yes.
Or police employees sometimes park there. Take that and make that section into the Flat Rock Park, which would have some sort of water aspect to it. So if we can't find the spring, we'll find another way to make it kind of like a water, you know, aspect, whether it's a little waterfall.
Just put a hose underground.
Something like that. And then it'll run along High Rock Avenue. There's going to be like the Greenbelt Trail. So they've basically pushed this lot the parking garage back from the road about 50 feet. Right. So instead of having like a wall on High Rock,
right,
where originally that's kind of how it was going to be, it was going to go right out to the street. And
yeah.
They're going to actually have it 50 feet back from the street. So one of the things that the person, the architect designing it, said is that if you imagine, if you look at that lot, if you look at the white lines for the first set of parking in the middle.
Okay.
That's where the line. That's where the wall is going to be.
Oh, all right.
So if you go over there and take a look, you'll see that there's like these cars that park right along the curb.
Yeah.
And then there's the inner part of that lot. That's the middle right. Part.
So it would be the second.
Yeah. So if you see the white lines, that's about where it's going to be.
Okay.
So you'll see how far back it'll be.
How will this satisfy the Muzan house?
That's one of the reasons how. Is that it's going to be back Set from back. The road.
Okay.
And then what they did is right in front of the Muzan house, they've kind of stepped it back. So there's even like a little cutout that kind of moves it back toward the Muzan house as it gets closer to the Muzan house. So there's
great.
That. There's a couple of parking spots right in front of the Muzan house that they put on the surface level.
Sure.
And then a staircase that goes up to the top. So you can walk down from Maple Avenue to literally right in front of the Muzan house.
Oh, that's nice.
And a small like green space there in front of it as well. So before, the wall of the parking lot was going to be right in front of the Muzan house blocking it. Where now they've moved it back, and again the Pettinatis were involved in those discussions that I was on.
Well, that's
and,
nice.
You know, it was good to hear his input. You know, I thought
after the last time, I mean, having them be on board this time is a huge plus.
So the other aspect of this, just quickly, is that the levels of the parking lot are going to be flat. So instead of having it be like a ramped up thing where you actually can go from level to level through the parking garage like the one on Woodlawn.
Right.
You won't actually be able to do that in this one except in the section over by the city center.
Okay.
So you're going to have entrances that come in at each level, and it's going to be a flat parking spot. So you won't be able to like go from the second level to the third level.
Right.
You'll have to go out and go around.
Go out and come back.
Yeah, so there's like the ground level entrance on High Rock, then there's an entrance on Maple for the second level, and then the third level entrance is actually going to be like straight down that Ellsworth Jones place.
Oh, okay.
So you just drive straight into the parking garage, which is actually going to be good for the city center, I think.
Sure.
And then there are a couple of levels of their parking. You'll be able to go up and down, drive up and down through.
Now, what about this Fresh Market thing?
So because the parking garage is going to be set back from the road, you'll be able to have a and there's going to be a green space, like a greenway, essentially,
right,
along that area. That's where the farmer's market would be, actually located on the outside of the garage.
Okay, so it wouldn't be down.
I mean, you could put it inside if you wanted to, but I don't know if you'd want to.
But it wouldn't be where it is now?
It may move up from there.
Okay.
It may just expand from there. I mean,
because
right now I know that there's booths that set up outside of those covered areas for the farmer's market.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I think they're still going to have in this project is awnings that can come out along the parking garage. They can be pulled back or put out, and they'll be covered areas for like booths for farmers market. Or whatever.
Well, I hope they don't ruin that, because we got such a great farmers market that.
And they built that nice structure in High Rock Park for it.
Yeah, they did.
So you know, again, it was good being on the project. It was good to kind of see the project come together.
Sure.
I think that there are, you know, the concern came from the Sustainable Saratoga Group for the most part, and others, that you know, there wasn't a lot of public outreach from that project originally.
Right.
So people didn't really know. But I think after they saw the project, it's quite an improvement over the prior plan, I think.
Sure.
And you know, I think people are going to be more supportive of it as it goes forward. And having those flat levels.
Yeah.
Allow for the building to be essentially or potentially reused. Say you know, because their whole thing is, you know, we're moving away from a car-centered society. You're building a huge parking deck. What happens when you can't fill the spaces,
right?
Because people are coming via other forms of transportation to the city, and they're not necessarily driving their car. So you can actually change parts of that building into a actual building at some point. So you know, if it became like, well, a section of it was not being used, you could start a plan and use those levels
one
as
the
floors
levels
for a building at some point.
No, I had some people come to me and talk about number one, paid parking, mm-hmm. which would move cars around. And number two, why is the garage across from the movie theater there on on Woodlawn, the yep. second one, has a section of 48-hour parking? That should be eliminated yep. and put back the 2 hours or 3 hours like every other garage. I mean, who benefits from that 48-hour right. parking? And they said, you know, you could create more rotation that way. And it seems like the city could be doing some more of that progressive thing
yep.
than building a whole parking garage. I mean, I don't know the reason for that.
So I think that the city is going to move toward what you're talking about. You know, I paid parking is always a hot button issue.
It is.
I think the plan, as far as I understand it, if there is a plan, because, again, I'm not involved in daily City Hall stuff, mm-hmm. Is that, you know, the garages will get some sort of a paid parking system to them at some point. And look, the practicality of that is that you have to pay for garages,
right.
maintenance and upkeep, and revenue has to come in. I mean, otherwise, we're paying for it as taxpayers,
exactly.
and we're not necessarily always using those parking spaces. You're right. We were talking about after the city council meeting, Skip and a couple other of us were talking about the 48-hour situation and, you know, changing that, because that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't.
And yeah, who does that really benefit, right?
Right.
You know, you can come in for the whole weekend and park in a garage and
or if it's off street parking, why should they be provided parking when some
right.
other apartments, people that live in them have to
right.
fend for themselves?
Right.
Or, you know, I always thought that the best thing to do for businesses in that, so they don't have to run out every 2 hours and move cars around, would be to sell parking permits by the
yeah.
month. I mean, and they don't have to be expensive,
yep.
but just enough that some revenue can be generated and employees can not have to run outside every 2 hours, especially in the lousy weather.
There's a lot of options. I mean, I think, you know, there's, I guess, two ways to tackle parking permits. I think, you know, as local residents, should we, as already being a taxpayer, I mean, do we then pay for a parking permit, or do we just get a free parking permit and we can park as taxpayers
right.
In our lots, which is one thing. Or you pay for it. I mean, this is way far away from what I do. So,
most definitely.
You know, the other option would be to, you know, like, because, again, Albany does that. I mean, they sell parking permits to residents, and you can get various benefits. And if you go down to City Hall in Albany, because, you know, I used to work downtown Albany, so
mm-hmm.
you know, you could go in and you get different kind of passes and things
sure.
to park in the municipal lots down there.
I mean, look, no matter which way you go, you're going to have a problem with some
oh, yeah.
sector of
sure.
the citizens. I mean, that,
sure.
that's only normal. But I think they have to realize that the day of doing everything for nothing in cities, doing something for nothing costs somebody something.
Sure.
And usually it's a taxpayer.
Yep.
And you know, we can't go on like that, because in the summer, especially, I mean, I kind of thought, well, maybe from May until the beginning of November, you could have paid parking, and then after November through May, it could be
open
parking.
Yeah,
because we get such an influx of tourists, and almost every tourist spot in the country has paid parking.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's true.
And you're not taking advantage of tourists, but you're giving the citizens an equal footing on getting a parking space downtown if they want to go down for dinner
right.
or whatever.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, just about anywhere you go that's a tourist location has some sort of a paid parking
sure.
system, and you prepare for that when you go. And,
right.
you know, and just Lake Placid's the closest, I think, to us. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have paid system in their downtown, and that's the way it works.
And, I mean, today you can get the meters where you can use cash, a credit card, or your debit card.
Or your phone.
That's
new, too, now, is that you have, you know, Albany Parking Authority has an app So I can, you know, I've gone down there a couple times. I don't really work in Albany anymore, but I occasionally have to go to my office down there. And, you know, you get there in the morning and you say, you know, I want to park here for 8 hours.
Right.
And you just, I have a credit card on file. I say, yes, okay. It says, you're all set. You don't even get a ticket. You know, like you have to, you spits a ticket out, you put it on your windshield or whatever, or in your dashboard. You don't even do that. They just know from your phone.
It's amazing.
Through your license plate that you've paid for that spot.
See, you could never do that with a rotary phone.
Right. Yeah, no.
carry it in your car. And
as somebody who works for Verizon, you know, I know how that goes. But you know, like, I was up in Montreal. They have the same system, you know, an app now.
Sure.
Where you just put in your parking space.
So it makes it convenient for everybody. I mean, it's like doing online banking or whatever. Going into the store and using your app to pay for things now. But I think parking's a problem, but I think it can be solved by doing... the garage is one thing that's going to go through, but there's a lot more that can be done downtown, I think, in tweaking different things that you can... maybe even get additional parking.
Yeah, it's you know, again, we're unique in a lot of ways and good ways.
Yeah,
but you know, sometimes you know we don't. A lot of cities will have like a parking, like Albany has a parking authority,
sure.
And so it's separate from their city government, and they work. You know, it's like a you know,
it'll be like the city center.
Yeah, yeah, authority. having a group that actually just focuses on that one issue.
Yeah,
you know. It's good in Saratoga because our elected officials are accountable like that.
Yeah.
We make that accountability sometimes. And, you know, they have to, as a council, deal with all the parking issues.
Well, I think, though, if you had an authority, the city would oversee it like they do the city center.
Sure.
I mean, the city still would be in charge.
There's a connection to it. Yeah.
But you have somebody else, like you say, worry about it, come up with the ideas and maybe even float them through the council, but they have the decision making.
Right. Right. It becomes like an authority has like what they call an arm's length relationship to the government. So,
sure.
So they act independently, but still have to have tie to the, because they're created by the government.
Well, exactly.
You know, so, you know, whether that's good or bad, I don't know.
Seems to work in other areas.
Yeah.
So,
and a lot of places have that because of the same reasons. It gets difficult sometimes for a government to, you know, they have to fund the upkeep and they have to fund the, you know, and again, the upkeep is really important. I mean, we spent a lot of money on that garage down by Congress Park
when
it needed to have the steps redone and all that. I mean, the city spent fair amount of money on that.
Right.
And it was all you're in our taxes that paid for
that. Well, Woodlawn needs maintenance pretty much every day, unfortunately.
Yep.
So they
cost money, and so that's one thing that we need to be aware of as we move forward with Flat Rock.
Yeah.
Because I think it's, overall, it's going to be good for the city, but,
but how you get there,
all the things that come with it.
Sure.
And all you got to deal with.
Before we get to, I want to talk about the public safety building for the county, because I think that's being very proactive, and I know I always say our city's very reactive instead of proactive. It almost became proactive last year, but it lost by 10 votes. But I know. Yeah, everybody cringes when you talk about that, but there's so many things that go into that. You know, not being able to have a recount with the TIF files, and because I know the manufacturer of the voting machine said there could be a factor of a plus or minus 1% either way in error. And, you know, when you're looking at a 1/100th of a percent, I don't know. But anyway, what's your opinion of, because I know we talked about this before.
Yeah.
When we spoke about, I think the Board of Election Commissioners should be changed out. Ferrucci's been there for so long, I think, you know, before the country started voting. But you had told me that the supervisors actually were the ones that appointed them, because I wanted you to kind of see if you could take action, and you said, Rick, I'm only one person if I wanted to. But so you know, in that respect, I think that they're doing a bad job in not allowing full disclosure, transparency on that. But the Republican committee, on the other hand, I was very surprised that the county committee, that they interfered in a city's proposal, not people that were running for election, but in a city proposal. I mean, by donating almost $1,000 to Success. Now, I don't feel that the a committee made up of donations to help promote candidates should be involved in city or town initiatives. I mean, what's your feeling on that? I don't know. So, it's a very confusing issue.
I would say the first thing I'll say before we get to the question is that I'm not a member of the Republican committee.
No, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, they that's a
And
you
this
know,
is the
I
county.
Was.
This is the county Republican committee.
Yeah, well, I mean, any commissioner, any committee member of a local committee is also a member of the county committee. So,
oh, they are.
Yeah. So you know, before I was elected, I was obviously, and I worked. But once I got elected, I felt that being
conflict.
Involved in the committee was there was, you would take stands on candidates and, and stuff, and so I didn't want to be in that place, so I left the Republican committee. I still attend their meetings and all that kind of thing,
right.
But I'm not a voting member, right? So that's the first thing. But the second thing is, I think, the county Republican committee or the county Democratic committee for that matter, take either one. They do take stands from time to time on issues. They'll pass resolutions and say we agree with this or we don't agree with that, and that's their right as an organization to do that. Not so sure that the funding part of it is what you would want.
Right.
It is a little bit, and of course that's all public. You can see that they
made that donation. Oh, yeah, it's very transparent. I mean,
I don't know about that. I mean, look, I get donations from the county Republican committee and the city committee.
And you should. You're a candidate.
Right. And that's part of how it works, right?
That's right.
They fund the candidates that they support. As far as a local issue, I'm not quite as sure that they should do that. I don't know.
My outlook on it is, all right, they did it once. Now, does that mean that every town or, I mean, Saratoga is the only, we're the only one of two cities in Saratoga County.
Yeah.
But if let's say Corinth has a town issue that they're trying to push, does that mean that the Republican committee, the county Republican committee, would have to donate to them because they did it? I mean,
right.
If Corinth said, well, hey, you did it to Saratoga.
Right.
You gave them $1,000, the group that was against it. Now we want our share.
Right.
I mean, they set a precedent.
Very possible.
I think they set a bad precedent on the donation. The backing of it or saying that they didn't agree with it is another thing.
Right.
Because both parties, Democrat or Republican, can take a stance on whatever.
They have a platform.
That's right.
That's their, their plank in their platform.
But I think the monetary part of it, I don't know. I thought that was kind of not right.
Yeah, well, I understand. Yeah. I'm not going to – they have a right to do it, and, I'm not going to say they, can't
right,
do it. But,
right,
it's a little bit,
unexplainable.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they can do it. It's just like we had one of our candidates running for city office that donated money to Success out of his campaign fund.
Right.
Now, I see that as a breach of a trust and possibly an ethics violation, because if I donated to his campaign fund to run for office and get elected, and he uses that money for an anti-group for a city initiative, I think that's a waste of money, my money, donation money. But here again,
right.
Probably can be done. Was it smart to do? I don't know. But I just wanted to
yeah, yeah.
To bring that up with you.
Well, at the end of the day, I'll just say this, and you know, because I wanted to, we talked about this a little bit earlier, is that the county chairman, who is our chairman of the Republican Party, is right. He's not there anymore. He did move on and actually works in the Trump administration now as a small business administration department. So we have a new chairman to the yeah. county Republican Party, and he's much less interested in doing that kind of a thing.
Okay,
because. You know, again, I think his focus is on candidates and getting them elected. And
I think that's an important thing.
They've talked, you know, and we've talked a little bit, and I don't want to get too far inside baseball, but, you know, there was a lot spent on the last election. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're appropriately spending funds for our candidates.
Well, and you're set up for the next election.
Yeah,
I mean, we don't
want to
go throwing money around to everybody and not have it for the candidates that are running for office. All right, well,
you know, I don't want to get too much into that inside stuff.
But, and
you know,
I don't want to get into baseball because the Yankees are going to take it this year. But anyway, no.
How about them Jets?
I tell you, you know, I've been a Jet fan since they came into the league as the Titans. And I always tell everybody that, you know, I love the Jets. I watch them even, but after the first four games of the season, they're out of it. I just don't understand why they can't get. I don't know. It's amazing. But anyway, let's talk. We got about 11 minutes left.
Wow.
I know.
This flies by.
It does. I want to talk about the public safety building that the county has planned.
Sure. Well, there's three departments that are going into it. The sheriff's department is going to go into it. Right now, the sheriff's office is actually co-located with the jail.
Okay.
And so there's a problem that we've been having for a few years of our jail was built in the 1970s, I think, late 1970s. And it's only been expanded, I think, once since then. And we've run out of space for inmates. So when what happens is we do like a double bunking situation at the jail, which is actually not it's not illegal, but it's not approved by the state. they don't like that we do that. And so eventually the state has been coming, the Department of Corrections has been coming and saying, you know, you need to expand your jail or we're going to, you know, cite you with, you know, being in
violations.
So the county has had to, you know, we wanted to do a public safety building about 10 or 11 years ago. The economy tanked. We couldn't get the funding. We spent money, you know, trying. We didn't have enough revenue, so it was hard for us to do like a big project at that time. So it kind of sat on the back burner until about 2 years ago, and then it kind of came back. You know, the county's doing better. Let's get that done. So the sheriff's office, the probation department, and the public health department are all going to be in the public safety, health and safety building, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
And it's going to be located down on the county farm in Milton. You know, so we're moving forward with that. We've been putting funding in our budget. We are doing our bonding now. We're actually going to we put money in our budget for next year to renovate the jail. So once those guys move out, we're going to go ahead and update all kinds of different things in the jail because it really needs – the facility needs some updates. And create space for those inmates using the old office space and putting them there. So, the corrections officers for the county will still be at the jail, obviously, but the sheriff's department, the deputies that are on the road,
they're going to be
in the new facility. And so it's a little bit bigger than what we need right now, which is good. Gives us room to grow.
And you won't get violations in a few years.
We'll have violations, yeah. So, and, you know, the real only thing that I think I'm not happy about here is that, you know, the public health department is moving from Saratoga Springs, Woodlawn Avenue building to the new building. And, you know, I voted against when they tried to move the certificate of need to Milton.
Right.
Because we have that here in our city. You know, it is a facility you can walk to and get to, and it's near the bus line, and you can kind of get there. Granted, there's not a lot of parking, whatever. But it's having the services in our city, you know, that county residents can access from a central location point.
But
the county jail area is not near much of anything.
Right,
so
it's out in the. But the thing is, too, is anybody coming into those offices in Saratoga aren't there all day. They're quick turnaround.
Oh, sure.
It's just like when motor vehicles was in Saratoga. I mean, that made it really simple for people not, Although I do have to say, Balson Spa is a one of the better motor vehicle departments. You can go doesn't cost you half a day. But it was nice having it in Saratoga. You didn't you didn't have to get.
So that was that's a concern of mine, is that, you know, just that there's less public health services in our city.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I think, you know, I've made a point with my colleagues at the Board of Supervisors that, you know, you need to do something, whether it's set up some sort of a, you know, come to Saratoga three times a week, or, you know, because the clinics are there and things, you know.
Yeah, it's a satellite.
I mean, you get your tuberculosis testing, and, you know, they do flu shots. And
sure.
They do anything. If you're going to travel, you go to the county health building to get your, shots against whatever, you know. Again, if you don't have the means, the county public health is always there for you as well. So if you can't go to your doctor's office and pay for it or have insurance, you know, that's what the county public health service is for. And so moving it farther away, where people really can't
tough for them get to
as easily, it becomes, how much services are you really providing there?
Yeah.
You know? And again, we have our other public health services and nursings and things
like
that.
Any chance you can get it to keep?
They voted to move the certificate of need against my vote and Peter Martin's at the time. It was last year. So it was 20, it was 21-2.
Yeah.
to move it. And, so it was hard to. It's hard to,
I'm wondering why, because there's other towns and villages in the area that seem that they could get to Saratoga easier than getting down to Balson Spa.
Right.
You know what I
mean?
Well,
if it was the village of Balson Spa, that would be maybe a little different, but I would still want to keep it in Saratoga.
Yeah.
But, you know, where it is now, this area, the county farm is... You know, there's really, I mean, if you've ever been to the animal shelter or the jail, you know where it is. There's a big public works facility out there, and it's not on the main drag.
No.
You know, you have to go out to Middle Line.
You're
Road
out in the country. It's out in the country,
so,
basically.
So, again, it's proactive in the sense that we're doing what we need to do for the sheriff's office. I think we're a little bit going backwards on the public health side. And, I'm only one of 23 supervisors. We vote by weighted vote, so we do have a powerful voice as a city in terms of the second largest community in the county. But if it's 21-2,
it doesn't
really matter.
No, it doesn't.
we just made a point to the county that we weren't happy about it, and they, duly noted, and then they moved on. So,
because another thing too, I mean, people that went there probably went downtown or stopped for lunch or whatever, So. I'm sure it's not going to put a huge dent in.
Right. And, I would have been in favor of it, of those parts of it, the public health part of it, if there was commitment from the county that they were going to continue to serve the city in some capacity.
Sure.
And even though there was verbal assurance, there was no vote or, there was no actual, they didn't put it on paper.
Yeah.
so we needed to, so at the end of the day, you didn't give me enough to get me to join you in, moving that certificate.
Hey, I just want to tell you, you're listening to WSPN 91.1 Skidmore Radio. If you want to call and ask Matt a question, 518-580-5783.
3 minutes.
We can go a little bit longer, because I want to.
Is Polka Magic still come on after?
Yeah, Polka Magic comes on. We're having trouble with our streaming, so this show will be put on a podcast on SaratogaBroadcasting.com, but it may work out. They lost the power last night at the college. If we can touch on it for maybe 4 or 5 minutes, the school.
Oh yeah.
Issue with the with protection.
Yep.
Maybe you can touch on that for a few minutes.
Sure. I mean, it's kind of in the news these days that, the school district, the Board of Education had made a vote to remove we have grounds monitors in Saratoga Springs City School District, that we've had for 30 years or whatever, and they were armed. They were allowed to carry their weapons if they had one, on-duty cops and off-duty cops and retired policemen, to keep the school safe.
Yeah.
I guess it was determined that, we had been doing that for 30 years without actually a formal vote to say that they should or shouldn't do that. And that's a violation. You have to have a resolution or something from the Board of Education that says that they authorize this, right? And so back in October, they took a vote. Again, I don't know the background research that they did or anything like that, but, it became, I think it was a 5-4, split vote, essentially, to disarm the monitor. So a lot of folks have come, forward now to say that they want to keep that program or make modifications to the program to allow for some sort of security in a way, armed security of some kind at the school. My take on it was, first I wasn't paying that close attention because it was the Board of Education. County Board of Supervisors doesn't, vote for the schools. That happens at the board level. But a lot of residents started to get involved in pushing, an agenda to go back to something, right? This year, this county voted to do the school resource officer program throughout the county with our sheriff's office.
With the sheriff's
department. And a lot of schools have taken advantage of that and have found that it's worked really well for them.
Yeah.
To have
I think Saratoga
deputy
was the only one that didn't take advantage of that.
There's one other school district, but Saratoga did not take advantage of that at the county level.
Right.
It's similar to what they do at the city. And the city, it's weird because the city did do the school resource officer program. And so a city police officer is at the high school. That's the one school resource officer that we have. And then they use these grounds monitors as kind of like the other part of how they did security. And then when they took they disarmed them. Now you still have grounds monitors, but they're now not armed. Sure. So in schools like Maple Avenue Middle School, Dorothy Nolan, Greenfield, the other elementary schools within the city, there's no school resource officer there.
Right.
So again, as supervisors, myself and the other towns surrounding the that are in the school district, the supervisors all got together and we penned a letter to say, look, the school resource officer program is available to you. Look at it, take advantage of it. Look, the school is going to have costs if they do that. I get that, but for safety, for me, it's worth it. School pays like 75%, county pays like 25% something like that. And it's good for the county too, because we now get those officers in the summertime when we need them.
Mm-hmm.
They go into the schools when the school needs them. It's really a beneficial program in my opinion. And, they should take advantage of that. They should be seriously looking at it. That's all I can say. We can't force them to do it.
Well, the thing is, in most of these school shootings, what is it that they lack? It's armed security.
Right.
And, and now when you have a chance to do something and vote against it, that seems almost like, well, then what are you complaining about?
Right.
Look at what happens.
Hope it never happens in our school.
We're
not immune to it though. No. The funny thing is people had been bringing up again the shooting that occurred many years ago. Saratoga's had a school shooting, I'll put that in quotes, is that, St. Peter's, or Spot Catholic now,
right.
Back in the 70s, somebody shot out of the, there's the Gaslight Apartments right near there. Somebody shot out of the window there shot a couple of elementary school. There's people that are still around. Nobody died. It was very serious.
Chance.
It happens. And it has happened here. It's just, it was a long time ago. In that little playground area that behind Spot Catholic.
Sure.
The elementary kids went out and it was some dispute that occurred, domestic dispute or something that occurred in the apartment, and he got mad and took it out on the kids.
Most of the time that's how it happens. Yeah. Something sets these people off.
It wasn't our school district schools, but it was still in Saratoga and still in one of our schools, and it was actually a block from downtown. So if you think of it that way, the kids who were injured, they're still here. They're still around.
Well, good.
And a lot of folks, it was before my time a few years, but some of my older folks that are a few years older than me were the cohorts of that person.
Sure.
So they remember that happening. So it can happen here, and I think we should,
The county's being proactive about
and
it.
And again, I supported the resolution that the city put forward. I thought it made sense to have the public come, give a plan and then go forward. And I hope that our fellow town supervisors from Greenfield, Wilton, and Milton will either join on or pass a resolution on their own.
There's all these schools agrees out with there. It. Yeah. And
so, because again, Saratoga Springs residents are in Maple Avenue School, and they're, you know, and maybe teachers in some of the other schools that may be my constituents.
Sure.
So, you know, Maple Avenue has all the district kids. So my constituents' children are in Maple Avenue. So I have an interest in what happens in the town of Wilton in this case.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's where that school is located.
Right. You know? Right.
And so I'm willing to sign on and try to do what we can to make things safe for everybody. So.
So, well, thank you, Matt.
No problem.
I hope you can be with us in the next year, in the new year, and maybe keep us up to date on
sure.
a lot of these issues. I mean, the budget will be passed
yep.
by then, but, you know, the parking garage and the public safety building and the school that
yeah,
we
we'll
just
see how
talked
that comes
about.
Out. Yeah. Huh? I said, we'll see how that turns out.
Well, we'll see how it turns out, but you can give us updates, see how it turns out, and I'm sure there'll be more issues that pop up between now and then. And we always get a full briefing from you, so, you know.
Thank you for having me on, as always. And
yeah, I'll anytime, you know that. and you can listen to this, like I say, after Monday on SaratogaBroadcasting.com on Talk Saratoga's podcast page. So hopefully you're there. Next Saturday, our guest is Kim Weir, who is the director of the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And she'll let us know about what their organization does to help retired thoroughbreds. And that should prove to be a very interesting show. So right now, I'm going